TFYLP is brought to you by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com for all your import and third-party transformer needs, and save even more through the CapturedPrey loyalty program. Now offering free basic shipping on orders of $150 or more. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturedPrey.com. Mega Toy Fan. Look for Mega Toy Fan at the hottest toy convention near you or online at facebook.com/mega.toyfan. Mega Toy Fan for all your vintage toy necessities. Let us know you're listening. Whatever social media network you use, give us a mention by using hashtag TFYLP.
Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Hello, and welcome to another TFYLP. This is episode 146. I am Megamus. Tonight, I'm going to have with me Headmaster Don.
Hey, everybody.
And Michael Swift.
What's up, everybody?
Tobias will hopefully be joining us later on. He is, I guess it's, what would you say, about 3 o'clock in the morning? So,
give or take, yeah.
Yeah, we have to give him a little bit of time. So, tonight, we're going to do a retrospective view of Transformers, what we feel, what we should have gotten. I kind of like this because this is kind of a follow-up to our Are We Being Spoiled? Because we have the perfect opportunity to prove that perhaps we are. So, without further ado, Don, you said there's some news?
One, Masterpiece Star Saber is apparently out of Hollywood in Japan. Have them in stock. I was able to snag one before they went low stock, and hopefully it'll be shipping in here soon. So check your favorite retailers, such as Captured.com, and hopefully this figure will be as awesome as we all think it is. And considering as many pictures has been tweeted from Takara, I think we all have a good idea what to expect from this figure. Also, apparently something that was just made to me known right before the show started, was apparently the Generation 1 Victory Leo can combine with Star Saber. I don't know all the details. Either one of y'all got any details we can share with them? Because I haven't had a chance to do the research yet.
I saw the pictures, and I compared it to my G1, and it looks like the hookups for the backpack, and at least the backpack are the same. The platform shoes, it was kind of hard to tell, but they do show a picture of them attached, so I guess they attach either in a different way or the same way.
Do you think maybe this will be a stopgap measure they built into Star Saber to see if they can do a Victory Leo, or this is just
This one's unconfirmed because I can't substantiate it, but I did read that people had said that they had already announced that a Victory Leo was going to be in the works.
Okay, because I had not heard of that at all.
Well, I read it, but I can't confirm it. But the simple fact that the hookups and everything are there kind of lead to that.
Yeah, because I know they recently announced the Goldimark add-on for the Solar Chagoka Galgrigar, which is the same basic, the add-on mech that they're famous for in Transformers and Brave. So if we get a Victory Leo, that's great. If not, and we have a, and you're lucky enough to have a Classics Victory Leo or a G1 Victory Leo, you've got that as well. The only thing I'm afraid is if it takes too long to get a new figure out, it's going to drive the prices on Victory Leos up even more.
Well, they are an expensive piece as it is, so I don't think they need any help in that area. That's for sure.
Definitely.
It is nice. You could call it a little note, a little throwback for the G1, or I look at it as that the engineering was so good back then that they didn't have to change it.
Yeah. So, or I just thought of this as a possible third option. Maybe we'll be getting an Encore re-release of Victory Leo. Because if he's compatible with Masterpiece Star Saber.
Cross-promotion.
So, cross-promotion. And it's also a mold they've already got and they can get more use out of. So, you know, we could see in the next 2 or 3 months a Encore reissue of Victory Leo. Which I think would be great if that's in the works.
Well, wasn't it the number one fan pick for the next Masterpiece? And that's how we got where we did. So maybe the response was such, so overwhelming that we did the Encore also.
Yeah. Well, I voted for Fire Convoy, so I'm the wrong person to ask for the next one.
That's okay. Because
I voted for Fire Convoy.
Well, obviously you got outvoted. So, you know.
I got ragged on that over at my other home. I got ragged on that for voting for that one.
Well, it would still be nice to have that as well.
Oh, definitely. I would love to have a Masterpiece. You know, where the Supermoto is all built in, like Magnus, it's all just one.
Yeah, instead of the semi-parts forming.
Yeah, which doesn't really bother me, but if they can do Magnus all combined, I sort of hate losing the smaller Optimus figure, the Fire Convoy figure, and him going right to Super Mode kind of negates the fact of having a Super Mode. If it's all you've got, it's your only mode.
Right.
But right. You know, it'd be nice either way. I put in the chat. I have a little bit of third party news out there. We went selective and picked a few things. First thing is, courtesy of Chosen Prime, there is a Perfect Effect Superion add-on set to make it a more of a G1 design. You've got a more G1 style chest plate, different hands, different feet. Looks like it may be some fill-in parts to maybe make the arms a little less, I don't want to say hollow, but a little more filled out. Which I'm sure a lot of people, because we all figured there'd be a lot of add-on kits for these Combiner War figures.
Okay, let's see here. Now I do not have this set, so you'll have to walk me through.
Yeah.
What does that come with this?
Well, it looks like you're going to have some new guns for the different characters. And it looks like the guns also convert, if you look at the armor on the figures, it looks like it's going to have fill-in parts on the arms. It's a different pair of feet. And from another picture that I saw is, it's like, you see the smaller picture with Silverbolt's, the shield he's carrying. And the other picture that I saw, it looks like it's going to be more of a Superion G1 chest armor. Versus, you know, to sort of fill in this the piece bottom right here? There. Yeah. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like to me anyway.
So this piece right here will fit in right here?
Yes. That the other picture that I couldn't get a very clear picture of it, so I didn't post it. But that's what it looks like anyway. Plus you've got a new head. Because it looks like that the head is going with, because the head it currently has is the
this shows where the that shield goes.
Oh, okay. That was the picture that I saw, but I didn't see a clear version. So I'm glad you found that.
Yeah, so it basically clips over Superion's chest as it is right now. Sort of extends the crotch area, gives him a more filled out chest.
And new pair of hands.
And a new head, of course, and new hands and new feet.
Yeah. Which, you know, I personally don't mind the mouth plate, because that's what he used in, you know, the cartoon, was the mouth plate for the prime kind of faceplate version.
Here's a picture of it. I don't know if this is complete 100% or just hand painted up, but here it is in the colors.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you. I see why they did it. Why they put the red on the chest to break it up, but it doesn't look right to me. I mean, yeah. Superion should be white. The G1 is white, but yeah. I could see how they did that, because there's a whole lot of white there, and they need something to break it up.
Yeah, it's not quite as bad as Generations Metroplex with that swath of white all the way down the front, but, you know.
True.
I like the set, just, I don't know, something about it just doesn't look right. No, nothing against the set itself, it's just something I can't put my finger on says it's just slightly off.
I think his head, to me so far, his head looks too small, and his feet look too large.
Well, I was going to ask you about this, and they're doing a Minotaur one also.
Yeah, that's the one that I couldn't get the link to work earlier. Well, I've been having a few issues tonight with my internet.
So this is the Hasbro Minotaur. With it looks like an add-on to extend it, maybe?
Yeah, it gives it a head, a different head, and it gives it the shoulder, I don't know what to call those, vents or whatever they are.
Pylons. They go on either side of the, they only shoulder. Bugged me because he couldn't see.
Yeah.
Peripheral vision.
It also looks like it gives him a whole chest piece and waist area. Looks like they're adding a lot more to him.
Yeah, I don't know if it does a chest, but it looks like it wraps around the back.
It definitely wraps around the back. It
definitely does a new crotch and torso area.
Yeah. And if it looks like that those the chest piece has the combiner ports for Blackjack, and maybe he's supposed to fit better on those little ports right there.
Right in here?
That's the backup figure. I'm sorry. Yeah.
But then,
yeah,
I thought this was pretty neat. So they took the regular sword, and they put an add-on piece to it to make the sword even bigger.
Yeah.
Or to turn it into a gun.
Cue Final Fantasy VII music.
That's not bad. Now, are those the right feet that it originally came with?
No, those are more. Yeah, those are more G1 feet.
So this thing probably comes with feet also, and possibly hands.
Yeah. It definitely looks like it comes with hands. There's no finger articulation.
If you look at the chest plate, they've also added something like what came with the G1 character, a little roller car of sorts, to, you know, fill out the chest plate without using Blackjack.
Gotcha. And I don't see a better picture of that. Even this one only shows it in the back. Basically, it looks like a big backpack assembly. Right. And then I'm assuming all these little purple guns are going to be in that kit as well.
Yeah. It looks like that forms some kind of like weapons attachment, like the Jetwing Prime did for Optimus.
See, in my opinion, I think those should have combined to make the feet. Because I'm looking at it.
I think some of the weapons are the hands and the feet.
Are they?
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to think. Because you're seeing a lot of kibble right here. These flipped up ports and stuff. Looks like they would cover up these Gatling guns. I could see those flipping over and becoming the feet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's possible.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is, since the third parties are not going to do the exact same figures that Hasbro's doing at the same time, mostly, we knew a lot of these kits would be coming.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, that's a given. But definitely right here, Dragstrip is holding, and that is the hand. You can see the finger underneath the thumb and the two ports. That's definitely the hand. So, yeah, these evidently do become yeah. integrated into individual robots also. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So did you guys see, I don't know if we talked about this, that Superion's head can switch around?
Let me get back to it.
I got it pulled up on mine here. So it looks like you can switch and have the classic face or the face without the mask.
Oh, yeah, the mask or no mask.
Huh. I hate to say this, but looking at that small picture there, it looks like it's carved with Dole Surprise built on it. Like,
yeah.
Dreamwave at its finest.
Yes.
Full surprise for everybody.
You know, with all these combiner wars and everything going on, that you knew the kids were only a matter of time. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
At least this time they don't have to jump through hoops to... I mean, this is... I said it before and I'll say it again, that third party to me, it was at its greatest when it was add-on kits and stuff to improve official figures. Mm-hmm. And so this stuff, you know, I can totally get behind.
I don't know. When I look at when I look at my Predaking, I am nothing but happy. I am nothing but happy. And when I see, you know, even my Manasaur, I'm happy. You know, they look good to me. They do.
And I'm in the process of working with this guy, the Warbitron Bruticus.
I cannot wait for that set. To me, that's going to be the best one out of all of them.
So, well, you know, I'm just a huge Bruticus nut, so, you know,
That's my favorite combiner.
Yeah, because I thought I've got the Fans Project add-on kit. This is as good as it's going to get for third party. I'm happy.
Oh, yeah, I grabbed it too. It was so good.
Yes. And then, boom. So.
Oh, yeah. But now here's the thing. I like this one so well that if they decide to do a recolor, I'm on it. I'll take it. If they did, you know, Ruination, I would even do a Ruination repaint. I would.
I mean, you could do G2. You could do Battle Gaia with the subtle differences it's got. You could do the Ruination.
And Battle Gaia, I think, would be awesome.
Yeah. You could do the sea camo if you wanted to do that.
The desert camo, urban. I mean,
yeah. Well, I'll be honest. I've got those versions that came out. The city camo looks great.
Mm-hmm.
The cheddar cheese desert camo... not so much.
You could tell that they really just wanted to throw something out with that mold.
Yeah.
You don't like the tiger camo?
Oh,
hideous. That's why I call it the cheddar cheese camo. It looks just like they just took grated cheese and melted it on the mold.
But if Bruticus needs to blend in with a nice fall day, you know.
Well, it's like G2 Bruticus. The only way he would blend in is that the fight was happening in the Twister factory where they make the Twister board games. that's the only way he would actually be in camo.
Or in a neon sign factory.
Yeah, well. I'm sure they sold the idea, and that's all that mattered. That was that was a store exclusive, wasn't it?
That was, well, the G2, no. G2 was...
No. The yellow monstrosity cheddar cheese looking thing.
That was Walmart?
I thought the urban camo was Walmart.
No. Well, one was Target and one was Walmart. But I can't remember. The urban was Walmart and the cheddar cheese was Target.
I think that's correct. Yeah. Okay.
I want to put out a public announcement because I'm doing this right now. Uh-huh. I'm on HasbroToyShop.com. Today's the last day. Family 15 gets you 20% off. I'm pre-ordering all the construct or all the.
You said Constructicons.
Yeah, I was about to say Constructicons, but pre-ordering all the new wave of Combiner Wars. The deluxes are coming up to about $13.60, and Motor Master is coming up to $20. So you're not going to find it that cheap at a Toys R Us doing all your toy hunting. So if you want to get those, go get those.
Yeah, go ahead and put that discount on the Facebook, just so they'll know exactly how they can get. What is it, 20% off? Take it. Anytime we can save money.
Yeah, definitely. Because I was hoping that a lot of people I know was hoping that coupon code would last on maybe till the protective bots went up. But next thing we've got coming up is DX9.
Yes.
Who we know for like the Optimus upgrade set for Evasion Mode Prime has coming out with a Rodimus Prime known as Carrie, because he's carrying the Matrix onward. That's my guess anyway.
He's such a girl.
And hey, I always liked Rodimus. And the cool thing is, this version of Rodimus is like the Titanium in the fact it's all self-contained. The trailer is part of the robot body, from what we're understanding. So there is not going to be a Masterpiece Rodimus. It's all self-contained transformation. There are some color pictures out there as well.
I'm trying to find them. Right now I just got the prototype pictures.
Yeah.
I'm digging the gun. I like his
gun. The gun is a target master. Yeah, the gun is a target master.
But it turns into his big sniper rifle too.
Yeah, his photon eliminator. I guess he really hates photons.
I guess.
But
as much as I like this, and I really do like the Masterpiece series, so, I mean, there's a good chance I will get this. And who am I kidding? I'm going to get it. But I'm on the fence on it. I bet a lot of people are, just because the Masterpiece Rodimus is good enough.
Yeah.
It's good enough. And this one's priced at, $160?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, I mean, you can get the Toys R Us one. What was it? I mean, wasn't it like $75-$80 when it came out?
Yeah. I think the thing of it, though, is a lot of people like the whole self-contained. Because I want to use Kronos as an example. Kronos was about $160. But he had some parts forming that people didn't like. I personally have no problem with it because it kept the cost down. Then everything being self-contained and extra hinges and extra this and extra that. So if they're able to keep this around $150 to $160 and it's still self-contained without parts flying off and reassembling, that may be worth it to a lot of people if the figure's inherent quality is there. Because Rodimus, the thing about Rodimus is just, even with the second version, there's issues.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's definitely issues. But I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at, I don't know, maybe I've got Rodimus pictured different in my head, but I do not remember all the black on the shins that much. And this has a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
at all.
You know, that could also be just the early color, what they're thinking, but, you know, I'm sure feedback will change that on down the road. But it's a very well-balanced figure as far as the pose and the design. It's not, now we can't tell how much backpack he's got from that shot. But,
well, I know there was a picture of it somewhere, and that wing is huge, if I could find it. That wing is... This wing here is really big on his back. I mean, it covers up his whole back.
Yeah. But I mean, it's probably...
Let me see if I can find... Yeah. I'm going to stop sharing. I'm going to see if I can't find a better picture.
Okay. There's probably a lot of trailer between the back of the figure and that wing. But, you know, that really doesn't bother me as long as the transformation is not, you know... Sort of like Fall of Cybertron Optimus Prime, but three times as bad.
Right. Come on now.
But Also, I think MP Rodimus's issues just left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth. And if they can get a Rodimus Prime that's in scale and when the quality's there, I think they would rather do that than just have to fool with Rodimus, for now.
Well, and I still think you're going to have a lot of people that are going to be on the fence because my Hasbro's good enough. Here's the picture of the back. That's the picture I was looking for. He is definitely not a you need to pose him from the backside.
Yeah.
But it's not huge. It all's flat. The side profile looks pretty slim.
Yeah. It looks kind of like what you see on movie 4 Voyager Galvatron, where everything is sort of panels.
A lot of panels, but
everything does fold fairly flat on the back of Galvatron, so they may have used that for some inspiration to keep the backpack mess down.
But as I said, that wing is huge.
Yeah.
I think it's too big.
I don't know. It doesn't really bother me that much. But
they look
I've always
big as a Seeker.
Maybe
that's as big as Seeker wings.
Maybe that's the third hidden mold. He's been a helicopter now, so why not a Seeker?
Oh God. No, thank you.
Okay, well, moving on, we have one more thing we want to bring up. Everybody's favorite onomatopoeia shouting Autobot, Warpath, is getting a new figure from Bad Cube, who's known for their other mini-bot figures, and War Dog. And we're getting some color pictures of those out now, what he's looking like. And so basically, we're looking at Masterpiece of Warpath.
Yeah, they said 6 inches. I think it's what it's scaled at.
Yeah.
Which for a mini bot would be about right.
Right.
Now, my understanding is that it was just announced just recently about the shield and the gun and how that actually goes on the bottom of the tank. And I'm going to see if I can't find a picture of it.
Yeah. But, it looks like there's a little bit of the classics engineering in there, just with the way the chest, where the gray part around the chest folds against the torso. Because I've got my classics Warpath out just for a visual for those people who don't have theirs handy.
Very reminiscent of, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, unlike Invisible, it's not a reshelling. Because the Mirage Invisible that DX9 did, I've heard it's a very great, very good figure. Mm-hmm. I personally haven't dealt with one myself, but that was something of a reshell of the Classics Mirage. This looks like this is going to take some design cues, but isn't near as close to a Classics design. At least from what I can tell.
I'm sort of digging the to me it screams like Fall of Cybertron Titan. Characters that you fought, they were the big ones with the shields and stuff.
Yeah,
hey, friend, I'm in the middle of a podcast.
And I'm sort of getting that
vibe from. Yes, Friday.
And I like the gun that they chose.
Tomorrow night it should be fun.
A little bit on the futuristic.
Yeah, it definitely has a video game vibe to it, which I really like.
Yeah, it's priced at about $110. That's what I've seen the going price for. I'll be honest, I'm not sure if I'll be getting this right now or waiting for that. It's I've always liked Warpath, but I'll be honest. The Classics is a pretty hard figure to not love. I mean, it's just got so many. It's such a great update to Warpath as it was.
Yeah.
And he's
you
still
have to really hate H tanks.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Just my opinion, but I do have
Invisible.
I do have Invisible here. And I mean, I see what you're saying about being a just a reshell, but I mean, let's face it, the G1 transformation was very, very simplistic.
Yeah.
And the classics, I mean, it was a good transformation. So yeah, I'll give it to you. They did. Yeah. They just took the same transformation.
But you know, the thing is, though, it gave that mold a little more life.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and you know, I would love to have that one and the Warpath. But I'm looking at next month. You know, I've got Star Saber coming in. I've got the next Fans Project Dinobot coming up. Their Snarl, not Fans Project, Fans Toys.
Fans Toys, yeah.
So I've got to prioritize a little bit.
They do seem to have they seem to be coming out with a lot very quickly.
Yeah. The good thing is, I think we're seeing, not getting off on a tangent, but a lot of these people have really upped their game in their quality departments. And
they have to.
Yeah, and we're getting a lot of stuff out, but a lot of it seems to be really good quality, just with a few things here or there that, you know, popped up after it was made. You know, that's going to happen no matter what.
Well, and I'm going to go back and reference our last show and say that, you know, we bitched at the stuff we didn't like, and when certain products came out that didn't meet the standards of the consumer, you know, we bitched about it and we let everyone know. So the quality had to go up. These other companies had to look at it and go, hey, we got to step our game up. So, and that leads more to the, are we being spoiled? Maybe, but you know, as a consumer, we have the right for that.
Yeah. Well, again, it's like every podcast, everybody has said the same thing. Third party is a niche market of a niche market. And those people that don't improve are going to unfortunately wind up like Impossible Toys and not be doing toys anymore. And it's sort of sad that, you know, their Tetra Jets, while the Tetra Jets had some issues, were probably some of their strongest figures. And for me, I'd always wanted an actual More Than Meets the Eye Tetra Jet, the Cybertron mode for Thundercracker and the rest of them. That's the closest we've seen, other than maybe all of Cybertron, but you know, I don't count that as a Tetra Jet. But that's just me. But I like Carrie. I like everything we've looked at tonight. It's just a matter of prioritizing.
That's true. All right. So we got all that out of the way. All the news. Let's just dive right into our topic. It was mentioned by one of our cast members, and then Don, you decided you wanted to do a little different spin on it. So why don't you go ahead and open up with it?
Okay. Well, looking back at it through the years, there's been a lot of great things that Hasbro has come out with. Stuff that we never thought we would get. Unicron, Primus. We had RID first wrote car robots brought over. We never thought we'd get those molds. For BotCon, we got the Ravage X9 mold brought over. Just so many great toys from so many lines. And then there's things that we sort of tilted our head and said, why? And this is kind of what we're doing tonight, just looking back at things that just don't make no sense. You know, I mean, stuff that we can understand why they did it, but we really wish they hadn't.
Really. It's funny that you should mention it that way. When I was deciding on what to label this show, one of the little slogans I was going to put on there was, what were they thinking? And I was just going to leave it at that. I mean, and I thought, well, that might be a little too vague. So
yeah,
I just went straight up. But there are some of them that you're looking at, and one of my favorite examples, and I catch so much crap for this, is classic Galvatron. I just, oh my Lord, that thing is horrible. There's not one transformation. Wait a minute. Now listen, I will actually give it one bit of praise. The transformation of the gun turret to fold up and become the arm cannon was pretty ingenious.
Right.
The accordion type where it would fold in, and I like that. Other than that, that thing's straight crap.
Yeah. Well, it's a deluxe that suffers from being designed as a Voyager.
Yeah. And to this day, I love the response, because we asked them about that at BotCon that year, and they said, well, there were too many tanks in the line. You had two. They both were leader raw in the regular and desert colors. That was it. And there was too many tanks in the line.
Yeah.
So I said, thank you.
Two's good, three's a crowd, right?
Apparently so. But, you know, I've defended Galvatron to a degree. I've also defended Tankor / Octane. And I get that thrown back in my face sometimes. But when you're a triple changer, everything's going to suffer because you're trying to fit three modes into one body. So,
I mean, that's not true. Astrotrain, Kless's Astrotrain is an amazing figure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it doesn't really suffer in any mode.
Well, the train mode's a little...
I disagree. The train mode, I think, is fine. And I think the shuttle mode is. It's his robot mode that's lacking. I think it could be better.
Let's see, here we are. Three of us are agreeing with...
It's straight up Astrotrain. What's wrong with that?
I think his
legs are too fat. I think they could put more articulation in it. Yeah, had he been a train.
That was classics.
Okay, well, I tell you what, man.
I didn't say I hated it.
Yeah. I tell you what. We'll get you Safety Astrotrain from the Platinum reissue with the orange and the blue and the white, the one that's coming out with Blitzwing, and then you can have that one. How about that?
The only thing I would do with that one is give it to Jason, because he'd like that in his G2 stuff.
I will. I would too.
I was just saying, if you go back to that very first set of Classics figures, you can't tell me that Astrotrain's not the best of those.
What was in that line? Was Hot Rod in that one, or is that the second wave?
Hot Rod. You had Hot Rod, you had Grimlock, Astrotrain, Starscream.
Well,
and then of course,
right off the bat, the worst Megatron. One was Grimlock.
Yeah, and if we knew with Starscream what we would be getting... 10 years down the road, almost 30-plus Seekers out of that one mold.
Oh, gotcha. But you have to admit, when they redid it and did the white one,
yeah,
they got it right.
Yeah.
That's probably the best repaint of that. And I'm including, you know, Japanese, United, you know, Hinkai, however you want to pronounce it, Bakon, all that stuff. I think when they redid this one and did a straight, just... That white with the straight colors, perfect.
I'll be honest. One of my favorite ones is the G2 Ramjet the club did.
Yeah, it was a nice recolor.
Yeah, but like we were saying, looking back, this is current. It's still on the shelves. Titan class figures and the Dinobot Sparklers from Age of Extinction and Titan class figures in general. I know the Titan class figures are for the young kids who want to just carry around a toy and play with them. I understand that. But it's so prevalent in every line, movie, Generations, now RID. I just don't think.
You mean the large ones that don't transform?
Exactly. Yeah. You've got them in every scale class and in every label of Transformers. And I'm using my area as representation, but the things don't sell. I can walk by any given store and wipe my finger across the top of them and get dust off the top where they've been sitting there. And there's hardly any paint. The Toys R Us exclusive ones, have almost no paint. I think Optimus Prime has a painted face and some headlights, and that's it. It's just a big chunk of red and blue plastic.
Well, it tells you that they're cheaper to make.
Yeah, but I'm just saying they're not. I don't see them selling. I don't either.
They would sell better if they were filled with shampoo than they sell right now.
But working in retail during the holidays, I don't actually remember seeing anybody with one in their cart at the store where I work. I understand why they're doing it, but not as many as they're doing. Okay, that's that. These Dinobot sparklers. If something is going to sparkle, it needs to shoot flames like the G1 toys did, like the Monster Bots. Because that's part of the fun. It's the monster is breathing fire. But these sparklers, that's all they did. And it was all internal. They lit up when you rolled them. And they were like $9 a piece. Do they really think those things were going to sell that well with that many molds doing the exact same thing?
Let me say this much to you. As far as marketing goes, do you really think anyone in marketing thought they wouldn't sell?
Being a marketing manager with as much kid-focused stuff as they had for Age of Extinction, I would have liked to have thought if I was on that side of the table, I would have said, okay, guys, maybe we've got too much stuff out there because we've got the flip changers, the fast action battlers, the one-step changers. We've got the Titan figures. We've got this, this, and this. And I would like to think I would say some of this needs to be dropped because we're spending money on all these kid versions, which they need because they sell to kids. I'm just saying maybe they had too much.
Well, but there's so many things that go into that.
I know.
What test market did they use? What, you know, do these people that do the marketing, do they really have an idea of what these toys and what today people and kids and everything are going for? All that stuff. But I guarantee you one of the reasons is because they're so cheap to make.
Right.
They can pump out millions and it not cost anything if they get rid of a tenth of them.
Yeah,
it's so cheap, and the markup is so high on that stuff.
Well, I mean, I agree. I mean, and like I said, I've studied marketing and management in college, I've not actually been on that side of the table before. I've tried, it didn't work out, neither here nor there. But it's a rule of thumb. If you're using a shotgun to hit something, you're going to miss more times than not because you're doing too much, you know, you're doing too much across the board. And I just think they used a lot of money unnecessarily for all this kids-focused stuff. Looking at it with hindsight of all the stuff still on the shelves.
Yeah, but I'll go right back at you and use your analogy and say that Buckshot is cheap.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, I'll admit, you know, it could have gone either way. It's just, in retrospect, with as much as still is on the shelf, that did not sell, and stuff that I know I can go to, yeah. I can go to several stores, and those pegs have not changed in months.
Because I think the last wave of those came out like 6 months ago.
Yeah, and the only other thing I'm going to mention is Construct Bots. Again, it's the same thing. I think they did too much of it in across too many lines, and I think maybe they will, because I honestly never saw them things really selling that well except when they went on clearance. And even then, they're still hanging around some.
Yeah, they were poorly marketed. They had a chance. I feel like they, because you look at the Hero Factory line for Lego, you look at, I mean, Bionicle's back for Lego. I think that was the audience they were trying to target. They just missed their mark.
Oh, was Bionicle canceled or something?
Yeah, Bionicle went away for several years, if not. I think it's been more than several years because.
Okay.
I think I was a teenager the last time Bionicle was on the shelf.
Don't say that.
It was replaced with.
Don't even say that. Okay.
Well, here's something, and I just thought of it, and it's a little, it's on the topic, but it's a little sidetracked. I'm reminded of Star Wars back in 95, 96, 97.
Oh, my God.
And the plethora of figures. And that El Fiasco. But what I'm going to go with this is a little different. Do you remember that Lucas bought them all back up? That was part of their deal for the likenesses and everything. And they bought back from the stores just thousands and hundreds, million, whatever, and destroyed them. Got rid of them. So would you rather see something like that? Would you rather see, as opposed to these same toys choking up all the aisles, have the company buy them back?
Well, I think after a certain period of time, say, you know, if it's a movie toy up to a year after the toy's release date, anybody that's going to want it has bought it.
So they're just taking up space at that point.
It needs to be moved out to outlet stores, stuff like that.
Well, I mean, Don, I'm sure you can attest to this, but isn't that how they did with the KB toys and all that? They would move them to a lower market and reduce them.
Well, I worked for K&K Toys, which was the predecessor to KB, and I worked for KB when Machine Wars came out. And we still had stuff. We had our little price tag. We had it marked through 3 for $10. Some of this stuff would not move even at three for ten. This stuff would not move. But yeah, that's what. But now you have Big Lots, you have Ollie's, you have dozens of smaller chains. Heck, Five Below. Even Aldi's, the grocery store, carries toys at the holidays. Heck, I found Arachnid, which I'm sorry I did, and Dead End, the cool repaint of Wheeljack, for $3.99 or $4.99 at Aldi's during the holidays a few years ago. So, but if you go in Five Below, look at how much Thor product is there from the first and second movie. Look at some of the G.I. Joes that are still there from Retaliation. Just the Five Below I was at near Mom's old house. It was top to bottom G.I. Joes, and it was all Retaliation, and it was all three different figures. And that was six peg hooks all the way back. So what you were saying, Magnus, about the company buying them back.
Yeah.
I know that'd be a financial burden to them, but if they can recycle them and use them to make new toys and get something back out of the process, it could be done, and I think that would help keep a lot of crap off the shelves.
Well, it seemed to work for Lucas or in Star Wars because, I mean, even to this day, a lot of that green carded, and if anyone that knows Star Wars, they know what I'm talking about with the green carded.
Oh, yeah.
They're not worth it. But just think if they hadn't. How much flooding, because there were, oh my goodness, there was so much Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, Skiff Guard. How many Skiff Guards did you see everywhere? How many,
I'll be honest with you, there was so much of the green carded, of all of them, because then they just took the same characters from the orange cards, put them on green cards. They didn't put them on green cards with holograms. Then they did something else I can't remember. And then they went to the little freeze frame. The same character over and over and over and over. Yeah. It was just too much. And then the funny part was you had gems. You had gems in there. What's his name? Weequay. I think that's how I'm pronouncing it. Yeah, Weequay. Yeah. If you could find one on the freeze frame.
Yeah.
That's hard. Very extremely hard to find. Yeah.
Well, when that was coming out, I was working retail. I've worked retail all my life. And I can't tell you how many people had coming in looking for the Boba Fett with a half circle.
Now just try and find one with the freeze frame. But real quick, Tobias, you made it.
Yay!
Hello, everyone.
Hey. Oh, and by the way, he also had that era. What is that called? 4 or something?
403.
Yeah, he did that too. So we found out how to fix that with the help of one of our listeners, and I think they do their own podcast also, Brian Johnson. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Brian Johnson for helping us with that problem.
All right, cool. Well, Tobias, how about you? What do you think? What are you looking back with your years of experience in collecting? Do you look at what they made and ask yourself, why do they make that?
keep it down to a half hour.
Yeah. Well, I have thought about it, and there's a lot of strange things I think, but I put the thought one step further, and thought, yeah, okay, they did it for the kids, so. No, I really don't have anything.
What? You can't do that. Forget the kids. Yeah. This is purely collector. What do you wish Hasbro would never have done?
Oh, there has to be something. There's got to be that when you go into the store, you see that, and you go, I see that everywhere. I hate it. Why did they make that?
There is a black mark. There's a black mark on this, you know, this hobby that somewhere that you wish never had happened.
is Energon Duke brought up a category?
Yeah. Energon is a good example. Yeah.
I wish all the pants never happened.
Yeah.
And I got
there's a lot of movie toys that came out, I think, during the first movie, 07. There were a lot of crappy toys. Just give me a moment, and I will collect myself here.
All right, you collect yourself. Let me think here. How am I going to spin that? Okay. Getting back to what we were saying, and only because it's bugging me. You said that you were doing, Don, you did retail back in 95. It had been about 97 when the freeze frames came out.
Yep.
Okay. Did you have people coming and asking you, hey, can you open this case because I'm looking for this one figure or that one figure? And I know you had to have because that happened every year.
Yeah, and we told them, you know, we can't do it because when we open a case, the whole case has to go to the shelf. And just to be fair to everybody, so everybody can find the ones we're looking for, we only put them out when the case is full. I mean, when the pegs are empty, we can get a whole case up. I just told him, I'm sorry, you know, I know there's certain ones that everybody's looking for, but if we keep opening the cases, we're going to have all the good ones gone, and we're going to be stuck with just a bunch of stuff that no one's going to buy. So at least that way, if it's on the shelf, everyone has a chance to get what they want. And back during when Ninja Turtles came out, when I was at K&K Toys, back then, with something that popular, everybody wanted them. You literally just opened a case and stood back, or you would have lost an arm.
Well, think about that. And I know we touched on it a little bit, but we kind of went when we were talking about are we spoiled or not, and we kind of went with the G.I. Joe Transformers, but Star Wars.
Don't do it. This was going to be mine.
Well, all I'm going to say is it's safe to say that there's a lot more of them than there are of us.
Yeah, it's a juggernaut of a collection. It's just no matter how big we think the Transformers fandom is, we are nothing compared to Hot Wheels and Transformers. I mean, Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean,
we are.
And that's the other thing I can never figure out either. this is going back a few years. what I used to do when the Star Wars was really hyped is you would go and you wanted to be at Toys R Us when it first opened. And it just so happened I worked for UPS, and I would get off work from packing trucks and everything, and I'd be able to get to Toys R Us right when it opened. And to see grown-ass men running through the aisles of Toys R Us for Hot Wheels, and I've seen people fight, fall, everything. It's just hilarious.
Now, one thing, we're not making fun of the Hot Wheels collectors. We're just, but every fan.
I'm just making fun of people in general. That's all of them.
The
people.
This is the fringe we're talking about, because every fandom has the fringe people that just makes you like, we don't know them, we've never talked to them, I have no idea who they are.
Well, also remember that, yeah, I'm not gonna get it. let's just put you this way: everyone knows what I'm talking about when I say the typical Hot Wheel collector. Usually a dealer or whatever that goes running for toys, and everyone's going to get the same mental picture of what this individual looks like, and we'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
But I thought that was funny because I remembered all the little things about trying to find all the freeze frames, because I tried to get a full set of freeze frames, and some of them were very, very, very tough.
Yeah, it's almost like you looking back, you wonder how much of that was actually planned scarcity or just was bad distribution.
Well, I can tell you right now that at that time, one of my best friends worked for Hasbro, and it was dumb luck, poor distribution. There was no thought put into it. There was no plan. That's artificially hyped. These by short packing them or whatever. No. I mean, if you remember when the first figures came out, a lot of the female characters went up in value and were hard to get because they were short packed. Why were they short packed? Star Wars is for boys. That's how they marketed it. So boys are not going with the girl toys. So they short packed them. They artificially created a market.
Yeah.
But they didn't do it on purpose. That's too much insight.
Yeah, it just through the years looking back, it seems like some of the stuff was, yeah, that seems a little too planned. And then you think, yeah, but did they really care enough to do that?
I don't think they didn't care. I don't think they care, and I don't think they really thought that way. They all the way up until they came out with a separate division for collectors, which this has only been late 90s, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. All the way up, it was just straight, hey, these are kids' toys, let's pump them out.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Well, it's like when DC Direct actually, now this is a bit of a specialty thing, but when you actually, if you were a comic book fan and you were collecting the DC Direct figures, before DC Universe Classics came out, all you had was DC Direct for these obscure characters like Jon Stewart in his original costume that looked like Howls, you know, things like that. But then when DC started doing the collector-friendly packaging that you could open and close, then you started seeing a lot of other companies doing the same thing, you know, collector-friendly packaging, you know, special slip covers that you could take on and take off. You know, it's just... You know, it's the history of action figure collecting is really fascinating. It's also frustrating because it's like we said, why did they do this? This makes no sense.
Right. Well, even the newer lines they have now, like the what's that new series? It's Black.
Yeah, the Black Series.
The Black Series.
Now, is that not targeted more for the collector aspect?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, definitely. Those are immaculate. I've seen some of those things and been like, huh, Yeah, I can't. No, no, I don't class Star Wars. I'm not buying that.
Now they're still doing the 3¾-inch or 4-inch, whatever line.
Well, also. they've done what they've done to the spot to the Marvel Superheroes lines. You have the basic 3¾-inch figures with 5 points of articulation, like the old Kenner stuff.
Right.
And they run about $5 to $7. Then you've got the Black Series and the 3¾-inch, which has the basic posability like your old Marvel Universe Legends to a degree. They run 10. And then you got your Black Series 6-inch figures that run about 20. I actually bought both Boba Fetts. I haven't bought anything but Star Wars crossover Transformers since probably 2005. That's all I bought was the Star Wars crossover figures. And I can't.
He stops with a migraine. Look, he's got this.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Well, since he was talking about Star Wars crossovers,
well, I was going to.
Yes. That's my. Why did they do this? Crossovers. Marvel, Star Wars. It was a line that I thought was poorly executed. In that, I mean, crossovers, and labeling it Transformers and calling it crossovers was a very, you know, poor label, because at the end of the day, the only thing that was crossed over was a vehicle turning into a character.
It's just the brand. They're just using the brand.
Exactly. Because I asked them at BotCon 1 year, because I was trying to get the, because those toys were not designed by Takara or Hasbro. That's what I found out, is the toys were designed by somebody else. But I asked Aaron Archer on several occasions, could the crossovers brand team come to BotCon since they were Transformers figures? And he said, you know, the team, you know, is scattered, so they really couldn't get anybody any given year. But they said that's why I had Transformers on there, so the kids would know what they did.
Yeah, that was and that's one of those things where, because they did it the way they did it, it sort of killed off any sort of hope for other crossover lines.
Yeah, well, I will admit, though, there are some excellent figures on both sides, for me anyway, like the Millennium Falcon, that's the Han and Chewie.
GPS.
I know. I've got one loose. I haven't transformed because of that very reason. I thought that was great. The Spider-Man, the black costume Spider-Man motorcycle. That's a nice looking figure when it's in Spider-Man mode, I guess, or whatever you want to call it. And Star Wars,
The Venom car. It's the only one I bought.
Yeah. But again, I can see why they did that. I wish they still did it to a degree, but. Yeah, it's just a lot of stuff I wish they hadn't done and used that money for other stuff that we took us longer to get to. But again, we'll never know the whole story behind what they look at to make the stuff.
Yeah.
So, Tobias, have you composed yourself? Have you got anything you want to...
Yeah, I thought about it, and I'm taking a cheap shot here. I could pick really any toy from the John line. No, not any, but most of them. Okay, here it goes. I remember Cyclonus from the Energon line. It was horrible. And we can go to, I think... No, excuse me, the Armada Cyclonus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the Energon Cyclonus had came with some minicon called Crumple Zone, I think. It was about just a robot that didn't work in either mode, I think.
Yeah, it's like Armada Cyclonus, that his legs would not peg into the body in helicopter mode. They just flopped there. I never liked that. I bought that mold and I just like, why?
I had to bring up a picture on my other computer here just to get a look at it, because it came up to me and said, Cyclonus, wasn't that a really crappy toy? And yeah, it was.
Yes, it was.
Armada Cyclonus.
Yeah, it's because I remember at BotCon, they were going to surprise all of us at the dinner by giving us an Armada figure. But yeah. they shipped early, and everyone wound up already having them. I literally had bought them on the way to the airport and put them in my suitcase to have something to mess with in the room because I didn't think they'd be there yet. And then here we go getting – and guess which one I got?
Cyclonus.
Yes.
Of course.
I traded it for a hot shot. I didn't get any better. It was like it's like Cyclonus for hot shot. It's like, with all due respect to Walkie, I'm not winning either way.
I was with Tobias when he was talking about Energon, and this is what came to mind. And there's a reason why this comes to mind. I remember for months seeing these daggone things on the shelves. Energon Ironhide everywhere. They had to there still has to be a warehouse somewhere just full of these things.
Yeah.
No one bought them.
Sure of it.
There has to be.
How about the Roadbuster repaint?
Yeah, but this was, I mean, when did this one?
I forgot about that.
You know, let's take a figure that shelf warms and put out another color scheme.
Yeah, but oh my god, he was bad, and that's why when you said Energon, that's the first picture that comes to my head is that horrible monstrosity that just cluttered up the shelves forever.
Yeah, and.
What I was thinking about was that Snowcat coming out from Energon, and they repainted it for Universe as well.
Oh my god! It actually looked good though.
Yeah, I like the vehicle form about that, but the robot form, I couldn't pull it off.
Oh no! Well,
they missed a golden opportunity too.
Yeah.
They didn't give them ski sticks.
No, well, it had no. It had no paint. It was black and orange. There was no paint on that thing at all, except black plastic and orange plastic.
Well, but I'm telling you, had they went ahead, now follow me on this, had they went ahead and just added a couple tempos of a G.I. Joe Night Force on either side,
yeah,
what do you think that thing would do?
It would have sold to the G.I. Joe collectors.
It would have blown off the shelves.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Night Force line was really popular at that time. So.
Yes. Well, it still is.
Yeah, it still is.
They just now did a Joe convention 2013. Yeah. Was the Night Force 20, if I remember correctly. 13 or 14. Maybe it was 14. No, 13. So, I mean, it's still popular.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it's just... And it's looking personally, looking back at Armada and Energon, I look at my toys in those boxes and I just say, what was I thinking? Why did I buy these figures?
And you know what I do? I look at my empty boxes with none of them in there and go, that's why I didn't buy them. Because I don't want them.
Well, back then I was buying everything. I just was going crazy. I was buying. It was a new show, new line. I'd buy it. It's just, I was dumb. I was young. I was dumb.
That's what I was foolish and impetuous. I mean, everyone goes through that phase where they're like, I have to buy everything, and then you hit a point where it's like,
I'm sick of buying everything.
Well, it's like you're dusting or something, or you're trying to fit something on the shelf, and you're like, what is all this crap I've not touched for 4 years?
Yeah.
Let's get rid of some of this crap.
Yeah. I think I know that feeling. Oh, yeah. I know that feeling.
One of the things I wanted to touch on, and I was kind of hoping Tobias could help with this, you were talking about some of the differences overseas. And I was just kind of curious if some of the things that we deal with are the same that you do. And what I mean by that is one of the things I was kind of hoping is someone could say right now, what seems to be the hard figure to find, what's short packed, And I'm just curious if it is the same in your area.
Yeah, so. Well, my area is a whole a lot different problem because we live in a Nordic region, and we rarely get the Transformers figures that you get in the States. And if we get them, we get them like a year after the general release, so we get the leftovers.
Yeah, but that could also be beneficial. If you're getting the same toys that we couldn't find a year ago, that gives you a second opportunity to pick something up you already know is going to be hard to find, don't you think?
Yeah, it could be.
The problem, though, is by the time they get it, they could have already got it cheaper importing it with the way the import prices work.
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember you telling me before some of the prices that you pay for toys over there is just horrendous.
Yeah, and I was going to show you some examples here. I'm just loading some pictures because this is going to be great. What I wanted to talk about was Hasbro Nordic, it's called. That's in charge of the whole Scandinavian region, basically. It's Norway, Sweden, Denmark, and Finland. And they do nothing to promote the Transformers franchise at the moment. That haven't done basically in years. We don't have any current shows on any network. The only promotion that goes out to the public in Toys R Us or other toy stores is when the movie's up, like last year. It was movie year. Then we get some of the movie toys, and they're really, really overpriced. For me as a collector, I can pick up some of them because I work and I earn some money, but it's still expensive. But for a kid that comes into a Toys R Us and sees the toys and is like, wow, it's a Transformer, in case they know what a Transformer is, the parents like, whoa, hold on, the price. And they go to another shelf and say, you can have this instead, because it's cheaper. You know where I'm going.
Right.
And the basic problem is not that. It's that kids really don't know what Transformer is anymore. Yeah, it's some movie that's in the cinemas right now or on DVD or whatever. But it's just a short time. It's such a short time, that window when you can promote the Transformers just out of a movie standpoint. Rest of the time, there's zero promotion about the Transformers. And yeah, we get some of the generation toys. Way back, we got the classics. But there was no promotion. The kids don't have anything to relate to. There's not a fiction or anything about the Transformers that they can relate to. So they rather go to the Star Wars shelves or the Ninja Turtle shelves.
Because, now, is there any promotion?
They're more familiar.
Do you still see a lot of promotion for like Star Wars or even Turtles?
Yeah, Star Wars is big. We get Clone Wars is on the Nordic variation of Cartoon Network, I think. And we got some Swedish Star Wars comics out in the shops. And it's a lot of Star Wars promotion everywhere. So Hasbro really goes way out there to promote Star Wars. My Little Pony as well. And you got Ninja Turtles, but that's Nickelodeon, right?
Yeah.
It's not Hasbro, yeah. It's just strange that Hasbro just neglecting Transformers year after year. The only opportunity they got is the movie years. And how often do we get them?
Well, you know, it's probably with the movie years, Hasbro America is probably dumping a lot more money overseas. So the Hasbro Nordic doesn't have to put out as much money for the promotions, it seems. So it seems like they're just a little too tight on the purse strings to do any promotion.
Yeah.
I am kind of curious.
I'm going to load some pictures, Ed. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. But what I was going to ask you is aside from like the new stuff coming out and everything, I look at that I'm generally a G1 collector, so all of my buying comes from, you know, thrift shops, conventions, eBay, you know, Facebook, stuff like that. But for someone like you, who even the new stuff, where I would go down to my Walmart or Toys R Us and get, and you still have to go through these online shops and everything, it's got to be difficult. It's got to be even more difficult.
Yeah, it is. There's another aspect of it because, yeah, I'm a collector, so I buy toys on another level than the average kid. But,
a bigger kid.
Yeah, it's just a bigger kid. Yeah. So let's say that I buy stuff from whatever shop on the internet. And still, paying that price, which is reasonable, and then getting hit with custom fees, other strange fees and VATs, it's still way more cheaper for me to do that than go into a store here in Sweden and buy a Transformer.
Last year I helped you get a score at Toys R Us Basic Retail. You paid about $15 shipping, and it was still cheaper in U.S. dollars than you going down the street and buying one down there.
Yeah, and it is problematic because I would like to go down the street and buy my Transformers because, look, they got the new Combine Wars figures, which I'm going to show in a moment. But no way I'm going to pay that price for those figures. And you may think that Transformer figures is overpriced in the States. Well, wait till you see this. I have shown you some examples before, I know, but this is recent pictures from a Toys R Us that I went to last week. And let's see, we can start off with, I think I'll start off with this one. And then I'm going to do screen share. And for those who just listening to this show now, we have to describe this picture. I know it's going to be hard, but...
You can do it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know, dealing with the shock and everything. Okay. Do you see it? I have it here.
Oh, God!
No. That's a Lima class movie toy Optimus Prime. What do you pay for that in the States? Before we get the listeners a hint of the price of the toy.
$50.
I've seen it, online, I've seen it as low as 24 to 39 when, Amazon was going crazy with a sale. A regular price is about $49.99.
Yeah. So just to be fair, as we spoke about the toys just moments ago, I ran this currency converter just to get an actual price for this. That goes for today. Yeah, sorry, I couldn't find the words there. But what we're looking at is a picture of Transformers Optimus Prime. It's a leader class toy from the recent movie, and it's priced at $81 here in Sweden. So let that stick in. What parent in their sound mind would go, of course you could have that. They don't have the money for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful parent. That's who.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have a hard time convincing my parents to buy me, Unicron when it came out. that was what, a $60 figure, but compared to that figure that we're seeing here, it's massive.
Yeah.
And it's like it took Christmas to get it, you know.
And really, after a while, they do drop some of the prices on these because they are shelf warming. But we are talking like perhaps $10 off that original price.
Oh, what a bargain! You need to run out and get two.
And they're still shelf warming, so I really don't know where they go after that because they disappear from the shelves after a while. Some unknown warehouse in Finland, perhaps. I don't know.
Well, right, the same place all those Energon Ironhides are.
Yeah, exactly. The Energon storage place.
Yes.
Okay.
The Ark of the Covenant there too, right?
Excuse me.
The Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah. Okay. The next picture.
You know, we have this big picture in our head of the ending scene of Raiders when he goes through the warehouse. And they got the one little crate, and after he goes around the corner and disappears, you see me running and opening the crate and going, Energon Ironhide, run over here. Energon Ironhide, I found the secret stash. That's where they're all at. They're all just stockpiled somewhere.
Yeah.
I've used this story before, but I have a friend in the UK. And when he came over for BotCon 2005, he actually wound up buying two extra suitcases at Target to keep buying things at U.S. retail because he was just selling it what he paid for it for his friends. And he could get like two Armada Unicrons for less than the price of one in the U.K.
Yeah.
And that's just, I mean, we're talking regular U.S. retail. So he was spending about $50 per Unicron, and he was still saving money over, and that's even not counting the shipping and the importing. That's just base price to base price.
Yes. No, it's a horrible pricing here over in Europe. And then I have to say that the UK is much lower prices than here in Sweden on, let's say, Transformers figures, but still overpriced.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. Well, should we move on with the next picture?
Go ahead. It's it's some more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brace yourself.
Okay. Oh, this ought to be good then.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. What do we see here? We have, to the left, we have some of the newer toys. It's Rovers in Disguise. It's Hyperchange Heroes, it says.
Which is
the Voyager 3-step 1-steps, or 3-steps.
It's 3-steps.
Yeah. It's priced at $57. Okay.
Okay, the American retail, is $20 in the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have words for this. And then in the middle,
You do, but you can't repeat them. You can't repeat them later.
Yeah. Then in the middle, we have a highly sought after toy in the small Transformers community here in Sweden. It's the new Combiner Wars toys, of course, and this is the Voyager class. Toys, and we see Optimus Prime here. It's priced at conversion again, $75.
Oh my god!
For a Voyager class.
I just bought the entire wave with the four deluxes and a Voyager for $80.
Wow!
Yeah.
In comparison.
So basically, you got the four deluxes for free if you look at it that way.
Yeah. Exactly. But
you put it all in perspective.
This is just a Voyager class toy, guys. Horrendous.
And this is the sad part. That Voyager is only $6 cheaper than a leader class over there. What pricing structure are they using? A dartboard?
Exactly. That's why I use this these toys as comparison, because there's no sense in doing this.
Yeah. I don't know. Because on our shelves,
the oil prices shot up recently, but no.
Well, on our shelves, the Voyager there and the three-step, they're the same price, right? So, I mean, $5 more for the Voyager.
Plus or minus $5,
Yeah.
And then, on the right there, it wasn't supposed to be in the picture, but I took it anyway.
That's one of those rubber shampoo bottle transformers from AOE.
$34
Oh, my. It's
those are, what, $10 at Toys R Us?
That size is probably about 20. 15 to 20, I think.
Yeah, so that's reasonable.
Where is Hasbro Nordic located? Where are they in?
They have their main offices in Stockholm and Copenhagen, I think.
Okay, your next vacation, you need to go to one of their main offices and slap somebody for being stupid.
Guys, we just can't figure out why we can't sell Transformers to kids. They just don't like them.
No. Because for every year that it comes a new Transformers line, let's say Generations comes out, they shrink the shelves. So today, when I go into Toys R Us, it's a small, small shelf that contains the Transformers because they don't sell. Well, I wonder why.
Why, exactly?
Yeah. Well, nobody at Hasbro Nordic sits down and think for themselves, why doesn't these toys sell? It's great toys. I mean, it's Transformers.
I know they've got to pay money to get them shipped over. Well, they're still being shipped from China. You're closer to China than us.
even if it was the same distance, it doesn't.
Yeah, so I'm saying, you know, with it being, you should have less shipping costs going to the Scandinavian countries at the same cost of production per unit.
Well, I don't know.
It's just, I feel so bad for y'all, but it's so stupid that it's like you said, they don't realize why it's not selling and it's right there in your face. You're charging twice American retail for the same thing.
Absolutely.
Well, wouldn't you say it's probably cheaper to send things in bulk over the ocean than it is to fly them? Because they're definitely not trucking them in, right? So they're flying. They're flying the stock, and just by default, a plane can't carry as much as a cargo ship.
Oh, that's so correct.
That's probably some of your markup.
Yeah, it could be.
To that extent, I don't know. That's a different story.
And you can argue that stuff like Star Wars toys as well is overpriced. I really don't know. But I don't get that impression when I'm looking at Star Wars figures, for example, at a store. And I do buy some Star Wars figures from time to time, and I don't think they're that overpriced, so... But just Transformer toys is ridiculous.
Well, Tobias, you don't have any of the platinum like the Insecticons yet, do you?
No, we never get those kind of stuff. I know that the UK sometimes get those Toys R Us exclusives, but I managed to figure out that the guys that own the franchise for Toys R Us here in the Nordic countries. It's not the same as Toys R Us in the UK, let's say so. They make up their own rules and what to buy. And, Transformers doesn't sell, so why?
Toys R Us makes up their own rules anyways.
Anyway, Well, you know, their Times Square location is closing.
I saw that. Big store,
But it's weird because, you know, even Vangelis said on WTF and TFW, the Insecticons showed up in Canada at $110 for the Insecticons.
How much?
$110 US.
Yeah. Isn't that a bit steep?
Exactly, because in the, here in the U.S., they have been seen at Kmart. And Kmart, they're $80 for insecticide reissues. Just imagine what they would be for people listening. And just imagine. Look up the currency and convert $110 Canadian or U.S. and see how much they would be just at the maximum price range. It'd be... Yeah. Oh, give me nightmares. I'm being attacked by insecticides. They're stealing my wallet.
And by the way, I would really like those insecticides. I don't have originals, so.
That's a great set to buy.
Originals.
Yeah, I mean, you could buy good original ones, probably in box for not much less than what, or even loose and complete for less than what you'd pay for that.
Yeah. But it's a nice box, though.
That's very true. Not for $110, but definitely.
No, it's not. Imagine if that came to Sweden. What did we have to pay for that? Way over $100.
You'd have to give up your first
around $150.
Oh, jeez. That's only $50 in the Decepticon. That's cheap.
Yeah. Okay, guys. The next picture. The last one. Okay, here it goes.
I'm not sure I can take any more of this.
Yeah.
See, I can't. Okay. See, we can't complain in the U.S. about our prices anymore.
Whoa. No, I shut you up forever by showing this. Yeah.
Holy crap.
So here you go.
Oh, no.
I'm going to focus about the middle one. In the middle, we see also the new Combiner Wars. It's the Legends class toy. And I'm talking Legends class. Okay, they're not standard Legend class. They're more Scout class sized, aren't they?
Yeah.
But anyway, $22 here in Sweden.
And for those of y'all listening, it's Combiner Wars Thundercracker.
$22.
Yeah. And I thought I was
we also
too
got
much
the other
for $10. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Do what, Tobias?
No.
Oh, yeah, the Legion class RID figures. The Legion,
yeah,
$17. Either Hasbro Nordic needs to wake up, or you need a better currency.
Yeah.
Or something. But it looks like the Optimus Prime is on sale for what? $999 or $99?
Yes, that's a cheap one. Okay, let's see here.
Because it's that first Legends Optimus with roller that becomes his.
Yeah, that's one. That's on sale right now for 100 Swedish kroners, and that's about 11.5.
On sale, and it's still more than retail.
Yeah, it's $11. Yeah.
That's the closest thing I've seen anything he's ever shown us that's even close to retail.
Yeah. And
I'll never complain again. You put everything in perspective, Tobias.
Yeah, and this is actually not the last picture, by the way. I still have one more.
He's been saving the best for last.
How can it get worse? It can't get worse.
Oh, I'm sure it can.
It can. Just a moment. Talk amongst yourselves, because I have to just prepare.
Talk amongst yourselves. Okay.
Oh, real quick.
It's like, damn, those prices.
While we're waiting for him, let's go ahead and do the meetups and conventions coming along.
Yeah.
And I know of one in particular I was going to promote. It's where I need it. It's the CTS promotion show in Columbus. It's this Sunday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The Ohio Expo Center. And admission is $5. We're talking 500 dealers, I think is what they reported. It's huge. Always a good show. I always find good stuff there. That's a good one. And I was trying to find the meetup, and I cannot find that right now. Does anyone know the information on that? I'm still looking.
I believe it's the 28th. I'm not seeing it.
Is the city of Columbus still under construction? Like the whole city? Because last time I was there, it was like the whole city was under construction.
Yeah, I know that most of the expressways are, but that's Ohio and Kentucky for you. Maybe he had it on here. Hang on a second. Well, anyone else have any get-togethers or conventions, meetups, anything like that they want
to do? I was going to mention, everyone knows, I'm sure, but October.
Oh, I just had the web page, too. Darn it. Well, you know, this is what we call a senior moment. But we will have TFCon I'm trying to find the American release date. Does anyone have the American dates? I forgot it. Here we are, October 16th through the 18th. Yeah, TFCon,
Charlotte, North Carolina, working in conjunction with the guys from Sharticon. We'll be available 16th through the 18th. I know I'm going to be there, barring not getting the time off from work. I know Ranger Free Cybertron is planning on being there en masse, so you'll get to meet us there. Hopefully, y'all guys will be able to come down.
Well, definitely going.
Yeah. Because, you know, as everyone knows, Megatoy Fan is one of the proud sponsors of TFYLP, along with Captured Prey. Great toys, great prices, great service, CapturedPrey.com.
Well, and since we're mentioning that, this might be as good a time as any that we announced the new slogan.
Oh, you picked a winner.
We picked a winner.
Okay, well, drum roll. Well, did you have any like second place or third places, or just the first place?
I mean, there was a lot of decent ones. There were some good ones, but this one, I liked his idea, and I'm going to give him credit for it. However, we didn't take the whole thing. Mega Toy Fan's not going to be Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with Mega Toy Fan. And that inspiration came from Lamont Howard, who said, maximize your collection and terrorize the competition. And I liked it. I liked the first part of it.
That's good.
I like
it. It's very simple. Maximize your collection with Mega Toy Fan. So, Lamont, I'll get with you later and I'll be sending you something.
Hey, I appreciate all those that sent
in the entries. There was a lot of good stuff. But I do like Beast Wars, so I did have to give a little note to that.
One more show mention, DairyCon next week.
Is that next week? Okay.
Yeah, next week in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And for the first time this year, they're welcoming walk-ins. So that's next week.
Yeah.
Bring a coat.
Yeah. Oh, and also on a sad note, for those of you who don't know, Auto Assembly will be ending in 2015. That will be their last year. So from all of us over to them over at Auto Assembly, we wish them the best and hope 2015 is their best convention ever, so they can go out with all the fan love that they've got over the years, and y'all guys rock on. Best of luck to you.
I would try to go to that one. I haven't been to an Auto Assembly. I've been to two BotCons, but never to an Auto Assembly. That's a crying shame. It's right here in Europe.
Well, Europe's so small, you could just walk over there. I don't know why you haven't gone.
Absolutely. It's just a walking bridge.
It's called Pangea.
Yeah. And by the way, we're going to have some get-together here this weekend. I'm calling out to all of you. We'll meet up at the local Toys R Us and have a Rage Against the Toys weekend.
Rage Against the Toys?
Yeah. We're going to demonstrate against Hasbro Nordic or something like that. I'm just
kidding. No, you might need to, just so they know, you know, there's an issue.
Yeah. Well, we got to get ourselves. So, I'm definitely going to contact Hasbro Nordic after this, because every time I look at those pictures, it winds me up.
They are crazy.
I'm sorry about that, Bray, because I really forgot about one of those pictures, and this is the most important one of those pictures, and I'll be showing this in just a moment here. So let's get my calculator here, and that sounds strange, but I've got something going on here.
Sorry, I still can't find that daggone link.
You got to share all those pictures up on the Facebook page.
I'm going to do that. Okay, here it goes. The last picture, guys. Okay. What are we looking at?
A blank screen.
Can't you see it?
Oh, my God!
There it is.
Holy cow.
When I came to the deluxe class for Combiner Wars, they're each $57 here in Sweden.
Oh, my God.
Converted to the current...
Because that...
Dollars.
That's
a lot. $57. So, if I were to buy a Voyager class and four Deluxe class, because that's what I need, right? Because
right.
I like to get all the limbs. I have to pay like $303 for that set.
That's what my third party at that point.
You're paying basically third party pricing for...
First party Hasbro toys.
Hasbro retail product is basically
what that's what they went for. They were there in the meeting. What are we doing, guys? So we have to launch these figures. Well, I've seen this, I don't know what it's called, third party or something, and they sell toys like $300-$400. We can do that. Of course we can.
That's probably not far from the truth. It probably is not.
Yeah, $57
for drag strip is $7.
That's
so everybody in the U.S., the next time y'all go in y'all store, it may be bad, but it could be a lot worse.
It ain't that bad. No. Oh, real quick, I did find it. Midwest meetup. It's going to be in at Closet Space Toys in Indianapolis. Saturday, March 28th at 11 o'clock, and I believe they're going to go over to the museum, the Transformers Museum. So the Children's Museum to support that. So it's all for a good cause. Get together with some trans fans, geeks, and get your geek on.
Cool. Well, I just have one more thing to say, and those prices are including taxes, VAT, or whatever, so we don't have that pricing like you have in the States, but...
Oh, well, then that makes it a lot better.
Still, it doesn't make things a lot better.
No.
You have to feel sorry about us. It's crying shame. That's what it is.
All right.
Well, that was my rant about Hasbro Nordic, and we'll see where this leads, because I definitely going to contact them, write them a letter. And I don't go, not going on a rant, I'm be level-headed.
You'll be nice about it.
Yeah, I will be nice about it, because I want an answer from them. So.
Okay, so... We've talked about what we wish they hadn't done, and in Tobias's case, what they are doing.
Yeah,
being stupid, and then not acting. Let's see, what's the price on that one? $89. Cool.
Yeah,
it's 2 inches tall. $87. All right, so let's talk about now. The second half of the topic was stuff we wanted to see, right?
Yeah, this is the highly subjective sort of just whatever we can imagine, sort of.
So just use your imagination.
Yeah.
That's bro.
Well, Brett, Megamus, you go first. You got a lot of imagination.
I'm still waiting for that transforming car that I can drive, but all right.
It's called a gremlin. You just throw. You just throw a.
Yeah. Honestly, when I see what they're doing with Devastator, I just hope that they go with that. I'm going to keep it very simple. I think they know that these combiners are doing well, but bigger sells. And I think the only thing that they're missing now is to have like the articulation and all that that these third parties have. And I think that they're stepping up their game, which once again, as I said before, third parties is good. Third party is good for us. If it gets Hasbro on their toes so they make a better product, better for us. If you don't like their product, you got another option now, third party. So that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping they continue to strive to better themselves and to do better than third parties do.
After that, I wish you would have just said Target Master Pretenders. And Headmasters. Headmaster, Target Master Pretenders.
Now, because I'll be honest with you, Devastator looks really good. And if I had to peg it down to one thing, I want to see a very cartoon accurate, high quality Bruticus. That's what I want to see. I want to see one that's just like Don and I had said, this new one that's coming out for the Warbitron looks great, but we also thought that Munitioner and Explorer, that pack was the be all. So I'm ready for the next WoW. So hit me with it, Hasbro, give me it.
Yeah. And I have to say, I said this before, but I wish that they did Generations Trypticon.
I think you're right. I think they need some true dinosaur love.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking Dinobots.
No, Trypticon. That's the way to go. A really big one.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Huge.
Yep.
All right, Mike.
Well, I'm gonna be a little more imaginative because, I could say something that I'm pretty sure Hasbro knows, but I was thinking, and I always liked the idea of. I liked Power Core. And I always like the idea of figures like Magnabus, which featured, three alt modes, one robot. And so I would like to see like an experimental line sort of like Power Core that maybe features like three vehicles that turn into one robot, or maybe they can also, like, one turns into, like, a base, one turns into, like, a gun platform, one turns into a smaller robot, but then they combine into bigger robots. Just something like that, like a fun little play pattern where you can mix and match them, they all work together. Just to, sort of get some new ideas out there. Because we don't have, we have like Duocons or the Duobots and stuff like that, but I'd like to see more Mandibus type characters. Maybe even an entire line based around that, three alt modes, one robot sort of thing.
Well, I would like to see, I'm sort of going for the low hanging fruit with Combiner Wars, but I want to see them break out of the G1 era, US G1 era, and I want them to look at doing some of the other molds from other lines like Lyo Kaiser, Road Caesar, Dino King. I'd like to see maybe a new JRX, maybe a different Landfill was not one of my favorite combiners. But I did like how unique it was as far as all three pieces could be rotated around the center torso of Wedge. So I like that concept. It just the execution wasn't quite there for me, but I would like to see something new tried with that. So it's still Combiner Wars, and it's still technically G1, but it's stuff that we never got in the U.S. or the mold. Like, we've been at, I have asked Hasbro many years at BotCon, can they look into getting some of the UK molds that before they don't exist or can't be used anymore to get some of these toys out? And if we can't get Turbo Masters, if we can't get Tracheons, if we can't get Lightformers, let's get some new generation or Combiner Wars versions of these figures. Like, I would love to see a new Wild Kaiser. I love the original. I have the original. I got lucky and was able to get one. But Combiner Wars Wild Kaiser, you would lose the scramble ability to be true to the character. But I think the awesomeness of the way it looked would be kind of a counterbalance to that. But that's just me. And God knows Road Caesar couldn't be any worse. So anything would be helpful for Road Caesar.
Yeah.
That's what I would like.
Choice.
Yeah. Well, it's just, I've always felt like the UK molds. If those molds still exist and they're not being used for Encores, that is such a missed opportunity, because there's two or three generations, there's generations of kids, of collectors out there that can't afford these molds originally. Because, I mean, if you look at the last time I saw a set of four Turbo Masters, the seller wanted almost $1,000 for the set.
Wow.
I saw an Omega Supreme cartridge for $800. I'm sorry, Omega Supreme. So, you know, that's just what I like to see, is if we can get those molds reissued through Encore, then I would like to see new Classics and Combiner Wars. Classics Overlord.
That's absolutely. Overlord, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you could do a two-pack as a Toys R Us or a Walmart or as an online exclusive. You know, have a Voyager-sized jet, or, you know, say maybe you could do a Voyager-sized jet, a tank, and maybe a bigger deluxe. Again, I'm just, you know, spitballing to keep the cost down. Or you could do two Voyagers and a gift set, and you could do Overlord. That's just, you know, that's what I would like to see.
Yeah. There we go.
And of course, G2 colors on everything. Everything has a built-in G2 color scheme.
Yeah.
Well, it's obvious now. I mean, if they can G2 eyes Astro Train, they can do just about anything now. Well, no, right?
That's safety Astro Train. Well, just imagine him standing next to Safety Megatron. The sheer amount of bling coming off of those two would blind you.
Yeah, but that Megatron looked really, really good. That looked really good.
And you know what's sad? That even when they showed us that picture, it wouldn't have passed then, because the rules had changed so much when they created that image. It still wouldn't have passed. It's like blue and orange and what was it? Beige or something?
Purple.
Purple. And
that purple chrome was pretty neat looking.
Yeah, it still wouldn't pass. So that was just...
Yeah. I used to have that picture somewhere. But
yeah, I was looking for the same thing to see if I could find it. Here we are. I got one right here. Yep. Let me see if this works. Okay, I'll put in the link, see if that works. It's here. There we go. Yeah, it's working.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. And that's an actual real Hasbro. For those people who don't know what Safety Megatron is, this was what they were at the time. This is what they would have had to have colored G1 Gun Megatron to be able to be sold in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a black, his cannon is still black. His legs are orange on the front. The insides are still red. It's a purple-blue chrome, yellow orange trigger, orange barrel, and orange helmet. And when they showed us this picture at BotCon, it still would not have passed because it was too far past the creation date and the laws had changed.
Okay.
So, for those of you that have seen the Astro Train coming out, the Platinum Astro Train, just imagine those two together on the same shelf.
Can I tell you what? I really want this blue and orange.
I know.
Everyone does.
Everyone does. It's
my exact thought.
It's almost like I want a masterpiece G2 Thundercracker with all the different colors and a masterpiece just for the sheer insanity of it.
Do we really need more?
Well, that mold? if they took, since they've done Thundercracker in the Jetfire mold, if they use this for G2 Thundercracker, I would probably buy this mold one more time. we are a weird bunch of fans.
That's true.
You know, when you is it just me, or when you get older, do you start to appreciate the funky colors more?
I've always appreciated G2.
When I look back to Universe, I thought, this is so stupid. I mean, why is Silverbolt purple? You know, that first Universe line. But now it's like, check this out, Silverbolt's purple, ain't it cool? You know?
I never did like that one.
I don't know, I just...
Some of the repaints were really good. Like we said, the Black Snow Cat was pretty neat. The Woolly Mammoth doing it, that in all black, that one was neat. It's funny, I mean, and this is a cliche, but it seems like whenever they do repaints in black, it's always a good thing. Can't think of one bad.
There's got to be one.
The purple silver bolt was bad. The orange and blue, it was blue, Black Arachnia.
Yeah, from the two pack with the
oil slick. Wasn't that?
Yeah.
Black Widow.
Yeah. Crystal Widow.
Crystal Widow. That's it. That one was, eh. So yeah, some of them were hit or miss. So.
I think of that line as G2 Beast Wars.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it was.
Yes. Well, anything else to add?
I think we've covered everything.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
But
the RID, we never talked about that. But we can.
Oh yeah, you guys. Well, we could
go. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we got a few minutes.
Yeah. So, what did you guys think of the first two episodes? Because those are the ones that just aired, here in the States. I know they're on what, like episode 9 or something like that in Australia now, but we just got episodes 1 and 2 premiered last Saturday.
Well, I don't think we want to do spoilers or anything like that at this point.
No.
Overall, did it live up to your expectations? Did you like it? Did you not like it?
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, I really like the voice acting. I think it's got a great cast. Just, you know, without spoiling anything, like Underbite, I don't know, he was just a fun character just because the voice actor did such a great job. And I think that's really been the entire, you know, the entirety of the characters we've seen so far. I felt I enjoy them a lot more just because they do have solid voice actors. Like, it's really good. As for the art style, so far I'm really liking it. I would say that the shininess on the robots compared to like the backgrounds is a little strange, but other than that, you know, so far so good.
I enjoyed it quite a bit. I like that we actually have a actual opening theme now. It's short, but it's not like Thundercats 2012 short, so at least we have an intro. I like the animation. I wish they would slow the transformation down a little bit. Not the Energon, not the Cybertron style of, you know, everyone gets their stock footage moment every episode, but, you know, I kind of wish they would slow the transformations down just a little so you can enjoy the process more. And it's like you said, the robots do kind of stand out against the background in some cases, but the voice acting is great. I like the mix of characters. There's a lot of tropes in there, but they work well together. But for me personally, how Robots in Disguise does as a series, if it's gonna be part of the Prime universe, I want them, when they get comfortable in their own skin doing their show, I want to see more solid ties back to Prime to make this the one cohesive universe. I mean, it needs to stand on its own. I understand that as its own show, but if it's going to be part of Prime, I want them to see, make logical connections to Prime.
It needs to be Beast Wars, basically.
It needs that level.
Yeah, the first bit of the first season, it's like, is this, isn't this part of the same universe? And then as it went on, it was like, yeah, this is...
Oh, I mean, I don't mind them going the whole season and not having hardly any connection other than Bumblebee might say, you know, yeah, this is this or this is that when I was here before. Because, again, it's sort of like in a discussion I had online with RFC, this is like S.H.I.E.L.D. You just can't jump in and start doing all the stuff Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did towards the last half of last season, because not everybody is a big Marvel fan. They don't know the history and the characters backwards and forwards. So you just can't jump in with all these references to Prime from the get. As much as I would love it, that's not how you're going to keep your regular viewer. So if they want to go the whole season and just have basic small tangents, that's cool. But I would like to see it in season two, more of that happening.
I'm also going to say, you know, I want to see a little more stylized versions of the Rescue Bots. I mean, this is the same universe, right? And I would say almost the same I would say the same kids that were with Rescue Bots are the ones that are moving over to this. And so I would just, I don't know. I've only watched like two episodes of Rescue Heroes. I mean, it's a preschool show. Yeah, I can't. It doesn't hold my attention very long. But I did like the characters. Like that's another show with some solid voice acting. And I would just like to see those. I mean, in particular to the designs. I kind of like the designs of those characters. I'd just like to see them brought into something a little more detailed.
You know, with the thing about, see, I asked them this at BotCon. With Prime being over, you know, we never really got to see the Rescue Bot show up in Prime. And they answered the question about that because the adventures in Rescue Bots came from the rescuing and, you know, being heroes of that sort. It didn't come from war. Yeah. So with there being still being Decepticons in this new series, and there still being a kind of war going on, I don't know if they're going to actually, because supposedly all of Rescue Bots is taking place during the first season of Prime. Is the way it was explained to us, unless I'm misremembering. So I would love to see that, but I don't think they're going to happen because of the whole war fighting thing.
My hope is in the case of this is it's more lighthearted, and they can get away with an episode where they, you know, don't fight anything, you know.
Yeah. But I'm just gonna say, everybody, if you've got hesitations about RID, and you have preconceived judgments, leave them at the door. Watch the first two episodes. Watch the first three, and then make your mind up. Don't just watch the clips that we've been seeing for the last 3 months, and go by that. You know, and then just, you know, go from there.
All right. Okay. Well, I think that about wraps it up.
And surprisingly, Hasbro Nordic haven't announced anything about this new show.
Now, do they normally get the shows right after we do, or are they...
Yeah, sometimes. When it comes to animated way back, they were really on right after the US releases. And the same with Prime. They aired that on what's it called? No, Cartoon Network, I think it was. But I haven't heard anything about this at all. They placed it in a warehouse in Finland. Awaiting decision.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think we're done.
All right.
Okay. Oh.
All right. Everybody, well, thank you for joining us.
Tonight we did our little insight into what we thought. Maybe got to get into each other's brain a little bit and figure out what makes us tick. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Tonight I had Headmaster Don. I had Tobias.
Hello.
And Michael Swift. So for all of us, we thank you for joining in, and we'll see you on the next one.
Yeah.
Later, everybody.
See you.
Bye.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP, email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.